Hey, it's the NFL Divisional Round Review on the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL Podcast for Monday, January 19th, 2026. I am Aaron Schatz, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy, coming to you live from my mother's kitchen in beautiful Sharon, Massachusetts, because I'm snowed out of my house. I hope I sound okay to everybody because the storm from the Patriots game last night got worse after the game, and my house is not plowed out, so I am here. And he is Mike Tenier, and you know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. And Philadelphia and South Jersey got much less snow than we did up here, so he's fine.
I'm fine. Elite kitchen cabinets back there. You did a good job remodeling that kitchen for your mom. Great work.
Thank you very much. We have news this morning, so I wasn't sure what order we were going to talk about the games, but it's very clear which game has to come first. And that is Denver over Buffalo, which was the first game of the weekend because the Bills this morning cut. Yes.
I was gonna say, I thought we were doing Game of Thrones first. Buffalo Game of Thrones.
Cut ties with Sean McDermott this morning. But
yes,
promoted Brandon Bean to director of football operations. What?
You see, when a company does this and they say, oh, well, our profits are down, so we're going to cut middle management while promoting senior management. We're like, okay, that makes normal that sense because they're scoundrels and they're terrible. But we expect football teams to be better and not do this kind of thing. The Bills are showing they are not better. They were so disappointed that they had no choice but to promote their biggest decision maker while firing the guy who's out there every day.
When you look at the Bills this season, first of all, this was a good team.
Yes.
This was not a great team. It was not as good as the last couple of years for the Bills. But despite the fact that they didn't win the division, this was still a pretty good team. When you look at the Bills this season, did you say the problem here is the coaching decisions or that the players aren't trying hard enough? Or did you say the problem here is the roster construction?
It was the roster construction, but I would say the problem here is that you have been a contender for 6 years or 5 years. Your cap is up against the wall. You're struggling to kind of keep continuity, guys. You're picking 28th, 29th, 30th in the draft. So there's depletion. That's the roster problem I saw. Not that Brandon Bean was some nincompoop, but that they were both him and McDermott were in this reality where it's like, you know, we're having a hard time sustaining success and we never had Super Bowl caliber success. So that's why if you told me, oh, they're clean sweeping everybody, it's like a frustration. I get it. If you told me, oh, they're getting rid of Brady and they're taking McDermott and he's getting the Nick Sirianni treatment, it's time to bring in coordinators that we're going to oversee, I would have gotten that. This just seems like there was a power struggle and Bean won.
Yeah. I understand the idea. Mike Roush says, it feels like this is the ceiling on this version of the Bills roster. Without overhauling the roster, they are probably not going deeper in the playoffs, which makes retaining Bean odd. So that, I mean, first of all, I think everybody knows that I'm a belief that you have to accept that there's more randomness in the playoffs than you want to believe.
Yes.
And what you think are like intestinal fortitude is often randomness. But that, along with that, if you did feel like it's gotten stagnant in Buffalo and you needed to change things, I don't understand why you keep the GM.
I didn't see any randomness in that Bills Broncos game. Did you?
No, golly. I mean, I thought we were going to start by talking about what is a catch?
What is a catch?
947,000th time.
Right, right. And we had two contrary examples this weekend alone.
Yeah. I mean, to talk about that, I think you're right. You wrote this morning that if you think about how they have been refereeing catches, there's no question that was an interception.
Right. Correct. They have been really tight on go completely to the ground and finish the catch and both hands on the ball. They're back in that mentality. And under those circumstances, there's no way that ball was getting ripped away. There was never any complete catching by Brandon Cooks.
I understand why Bills fans would then look at the Rams-Bears game and Davante Adams and say, I don't understand why that is a catch and ours was not. I do understand why Bills fans feel that way.
Right. Although that, if they call that the other way, that doesn't get you guys any further in the playoffs.
Right. So back to McDermott. So I don't know. It's interesting. A lot of people this morning were like, you know, Stefanski and Harbaugh probably regret taking jobs now.
Oh, gosh. Who wouldn't want the Bills job?
Because who wouldn't want to coach Josh Allen for the next few years? But somebody's going to get that job, someone like a Jesse Minter or something, and you have a very nice quarterback.
Tomlin's like, honey, you know, I talked about going to the booth and taking a year off, but I'm going to take a few phone calls.
That's also a possibility. Frazier Lamont says, there were four fumbles all recovered by the Broncos, and the Broncos were on the favorable end of a few calls, but the Bills didn't deserve to win. I do think that there was a questionable DPI not called on, I think, Riley Moss.
On Riley Moss.
The two DPIs, I said at first that I didn't think the Tre'Davious White one was DPI, and then when you saw a replay, it was clearly was DPI. Yes. Those two on the Bills were DPI. They were. The first one was a little iffy, but I thought he had his arm, man. You grab the arm, that's DPI. The second one was definitely DPI. It sucks. That's a really anticlimactic way to finish the game, but that's how it
works. It felt gross watching it because, yeah, this game is full of wacky back and forth, and that's how it ends. But you're right. There were a couple of, it looks like they're letting them play. I mean, they let Riley Moss play, and that's the guy who just gets flagged for showing up on the field. So I expected, it's swallow the whistles time, let's go. And then it turned out to not be the case. But it's not a conspiracy, and it's not a thing where the Bills can say we were hosed. No, you committed the infractions. They just called them idiosyncratic.
Also, as you pointed out, the idea of a conspiracy theory that the league is trying to keep the Bills out of the Super Bowl is a little ridiculous because there are two things that sell NFL games more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that is quarterbacks and rivalries.
Yep.
And if you bring Josh Allen against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, you have the best quarterbacks and you have the best, and you have a great rivalry. Like, that's what sells, market size also. But it's not like Denver is this colossally huge market.
Right.
Mostly what sells it nationally is quarterbacks and rivalries.
Quarterbacks and rivalries and the house, the betting house. See, a lot of people talk about gambling. They have this weird thought about gambling. The house doesn't make money by manipulating the games. The house makes money by having millions and millions and millions of people get excited to bet. And then they just take the juice and they sit back. That's what they do. So they want as many eyeballs as possible. So they want... Right. The Josh Allen.
They want things to look as correct as possible.
True.
The house doesn't want you to think that the house is influencing things. The house doesn't want that.
No, and the house wants Josh Allen out there because my sons and his friends who are casual gamblers and casual fans will be like, I'm excited about this game, and then they'll pull out their apps. That's what they want. Not like, some manipulated game that feels manipulated and has like, here we go.
You know what will get us eyeballs is Bo Nix.
Yeah, right. And in this case, Jared.
And it turns out not Bo Nix because that just dropped during the Seattle San Francisco game. Oh my God, that was the news. Was incredible.
Right. And now, congratulations.
Listen. look, we have to accept that there is a chance of Denver winning.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Nick Foles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Nothing is assured. It's still a strong defense. Denver still has home field advantage.
Yes.
There's still random variation all the time.
Yes.
But the Patriots are rightly favored. They're favored, I think, by 5.5 at this point.
No.
I don't know where you got 11.5.
I got it 4.5. Okay.
It started at 4.5 and it's moved to 5.5. It feels, look, as a Patriots fan, it feels like we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which is incredible. I mean, it's an amazing turnaround, but I understand why it would anger everybody else across the country. but Denver does have a chance. Even Nick Foles tweeted out, you know, watch out, the Patriots aren't necessarily good against backup quarterbacks in championship games, which I thought is hilarious. So good for Nick Foles for having a good sense of humor there.
Right. And make the statement and the reminder. And it sometimes, again, my old handicapping thing is that the first start is the one where Stidham gets the super custom playbook. If it was three starts in and Peyton was already like, well, we got to repeat plays, it's different. If there's anything Stidham can do, I mean, it's Stidham, for God's sakes. If there's anything he can do, he's going to get a chance to showcase it. I'm not calling for an upset. I'm saying that there might be a chance of a surprise there.
Bull 32 says the Bills were the better team and messed up. See, I disagree.
Okay.
DVOA says that in this game, they were basically equal.
Mm-hmm.
And that for the season, they were basically equal.
I don't think
the idea that the Bills are better than the Bills are better than what the Broncos are now.
Right.
The league wishes the Bills had won.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want Jarrett Stidham in the next game. But for the whole season, the Bills were not better than the Broncos.
No, and their defense was not anywhere near as good as the Broncos' defense.
No.
And a lot of what we're talking about, the randomness of this, it's built on the back of losses to the Dolphins, losses to the Falcons, these weeks where they came out super flat. So when I go back and look at that, it's like, does McDermott have to bear some of the blame of the fact that Bijan Robinson's just running wild on you in week six? And that's why you're in Denver, not in Buffalo. Maybe that's why the calls aren't going as well the way you want it to. There probably is something to that. I just cannot detach that from the fact that Bean has been promoted. And from the fact that I think part of this is the natural attrition of being a championship team for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and you get a bunch of injuries, and the guy on your bench is a 6th-round pick who's cheap.
Yeah. Let's talk briefly about Seattle and San Francisco, just because Seattle was amazing. That was the best single-game DVOA of the year.
Oh, wow.
At 109.9. Which is not, someone asked me, is that one of the all-time great games? It's not even in the top 50 all-time.
No.
But it was the best game of this year. This year just didn't happen to have a lot of, like, single-game performances that were, like, superly awesome.
Right.
Because to do that, you have to have a super awesome performance against a good team.
Right. You can't do it against the Jets for DVOA.
Right.
So,
you know, everything went right for them. Mm-hmm. Defense is fantastic. Special teams are great. As I pointed out on Blue Sky, special teams were great before Rashid Shaheed showed up.
Oh, yeah. For the team, you mean.
They had a punt return touchdown in week three and really good kick return touchdowns. Not kick returns, before Shaheed showed up. He just took it to the next level.
Right.
And they are clearly number one in DVOA now. Like, very clear. Like, the Rams dropped. We'll get to that in a second. So the Seahawks are number one in both weighted and full season, if you include the playoffs.
And Darnold won a playoff game, although it was practically 17-0 before he had to, like, move his arm.
And Darnold can be carried to another one, honestly. We'll see what happens this week. Thordane Hammer says, Seattle looks like one of those prime Saban Alabama teams where they just slowly choke their opponents out.
They did that all year.
Now, obviously, with the Rams, right, they played very close in two different games. So that looks good. Before we get to the Rams, let's just talk Patriots-Texans.
Yes.
Also known as the C.J. Stroud implosion. once you adjust for the fact that the Patriots' defense was bad this year, Stroud had one of the 10 worst quarterback games in the database.
Yeah, but is the Patriots' defense still bad?
That's the thing. They have been on a heater now for 4 weeks. That's four really strong weeks for the Patriots.
Yeah, because I pointed it out. It's like, you know, if you did this to Herbert and the Chargers and they did this to Stroud and the Texans, shouldn't there just be a mushroom cloud over the Meadowlands? Like, how did the Jets even, like, score a point against them?
Yeah, I mean, I will say the difference here is Garrett Bowles and Quinn Meinerz. The Broncos...
Oh, gosh.
We can be like, oh, Stidham hasn't played in 2 years. But the Broncos have an offensive line.
Yes.
Much better than what the Chargers and Texans have put out there the last 2 weeks.
Right. It's kind of like the last 2 weeks, here's a real pass rush. And you've seen, okay, well, May will fumble and things like that, but he'll still make the spectacular plays. Now it's like, here's a real pass rush and a real offensive line. So, now the problem is you have, like, one of the worst backup quarterbacks.
They are going to stack the box. The Patriots are going to stack the box and basically dare Stidham to beat them.
Right. And it's going to be all the little swing passes. And these aren't Tyreek Hill type guys that you throw the swing passes to in your Broncos. It's your Mimses and your Harveys and your kind of NFL standard level playmakers. And that's going to create opportunities for defenders to step up and make the tackle.
Hitchhiker's Pie says the chances are that Stidham performs better than Stroud. That's true, but no disrespect to the Denver defense. They are not as good as the Houston defense.
That's right. That is correct.
They're good. They're absolutely good. Benito is really good, and Sertan is very good and everything, but they're not as deep at every position as the Houston defense is. They're not a good linebacker, mm-hmm. and Riley Moss is not as good as Lassiter.
Right.
Safeties are not as good as Petre. And yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be go after Moss, go after McMillan to a degree. That's going to be the strategy on that end.
So Bears, Rams. By DVOA, the Bears definitely outplayed them. Rams only had a 32% post-game win expectancy. Mm-hmm. Was that the greatest throw you have ever seen?
That's a good question. It was amazing, wasn't it?
I was watching... the press box in Gillette has an upstairs and a downstairs, right? Yeah. So the upstairs is where everyone sits during the game, and the downstairs is where food is served. So upstairs, everyone's working on game stories and Patriot stuff. I usually go downstairs to watch whatever the late game is. And this time, because I was not the only national reporter there, I was not alone.
Okay.
I was with a couple of other national reporters, well-known guys. I won't say who, but well-known guys. Mm-hmm. We reacted to that play like we were dudes in a bar. We were not reporters. We couldn't believe our eyes. It was the craziest freaking thing ever. And Ben Baby said online that it was bad quarterback play by Williams.
Yes.
And it kind of was. Running backwards 25 yards is bad quarterback play.
Yes. But,
oh, my God. How did he make that throw? Was incredible. Incredible.
I would have to probably go back to Randall Cunningham in search of a better throw, but also a better throw where it's like, high school coaches, avert your eyes. Don't let your kids see this, because it's frustrating, because like, that is not good quarterbacking, and it's horrible cornerback play by Kobe Durant, who's back there just like in outer space watching this ball come in and like walking away from Komet, or like going to make a play on a ball that's like 5 yards in front of him instead of like what's happening. But it's still, like you said, like, breathtaking.
It was, and then the interception that Williams threw, I think they did a good job of pointing out that it wasn't necessarily his fault.
Right.
That it looked like DJ Moore weirdly quit on the route. It was also a very good defensive play by Cam Curl.
Yes, it was a very good defensive play by Curl. And yeah, Moore seems like he's running too far deep, or just going through the motions, going across. And
he slowed down.
Right, and it's Caleb Williams. You know that like the play is going to extend for like a minute and a half. You have to keep running. But yeah, I looked at that like that's an outstanding play by Curl. And there is a little bit of almost like, well, here's your probability thing one way. Here comes probability back the other way to say you're not going to keep winning games two in a row on these miracle throws on fourth down in the fourth quarter against an opponent that has this weird need to give you the ball back over and over again. It just can't keep happening. Like something's got to give.
Do you think that Ben Johnson should have gone for two?
Oh, I don't know. But you saw the they were at the goal line before him when they went for it, and
He said after the game, our short yardage plays were not working well, and that's why he didn't go for two.
No, they had the reconfigured offensive line, which was playing well, but it's still
Trooney played well at left tackle.
Yes. Trooney played well, and the other kid in the middle played well. He saw Swift getting like super villain stuff done to him, like when he went outside, and like Williams is sometimes better fourth and forever running around circles than he is fourth and two just executing the play. And there were a couple of situations like that where you put the ball in his hands to make a routine throw and you don't get that.
Bool 32 says, I'm surprised McVay didn't go for a field goal 18 seconds and three timeouts. I think it was two timeouts and 13 seconds. At the end of the game, after the Bears tied it, I mean.
Before
overtime.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure how comfortable he was with his downfield passing offense, if he could avoid it.
But the Rams have definitely dropped in DVOA since the last DVOA bowl between the Seahawks and Rams. They have not had a good few weeks, despite the fact that they've won in the playoffs. Like, their defense is just not playing as well. Stafford, by the way, you were always like, precipitation Stafford. That was precipitation Stafford.
Yes.
He was just missing guys.
Yeah, and right. And then in the overtime drive, he looks really good and sharp, but he's missing guys. He looks discombobulated. And I think it's Puka too, and I think it's some of the other guys, because I was watching them running their routes, and it's like, are these guys running in slow motion?
The good news for them is that this will not be an issue.
Nope.
That it looks like Seattle will be like 50 and clear.
A mild, normal night in the Pacific Northwest, and no precipitation in the forecast. But yeah, no, you're right. It's like they played 2 weeks of adequate football. They beat a bad Panthers team. It was too close than it needed to be. They let this team, I don't know. It was a tight back and forth game, but they played well enough to lose in that game.
Chess Fanatic 87 says, whoever wins the NFC Championship game will beat the Pats in the Super Bowl, probably. The NFC was just better this year, especially the West Division. I agree that whoever wins between the Rams and the Seahawks will be favored.
Yes.
And DVOA will favor them even more than Vegas does.
Yes.
But I lived through 2007. So I will never say that any team is guaranteed. And also, and this Patriots team, with the way that they have played, especially over the last 4 weeks, mm-hmm. is like not, they're not like pushovers.
They're not what they look
like. They are a good, they are a the usual kind of team that usually you get the Super Bowl quality team. This, by DVOA, the Seahawks and Rams, especially the Seahawks now, are better than your usual conference champion. But right. the Patriots are not worse than your usual conference champion with the way they've played the last few weeks. Yes, the easy schedule, mm-hmm. but now they've played two harder teams the last 2 weeks, and they've really walloped. Yeah.
This does not look like the team we saw week 11, week 12, where it's like, oh, my God, the Falcons, you know, it's nip and tuck.
Right.
And some of those other opponents, and the Bengals with Flacco and stuff like that, and they're struggling. Now they're winning better teams more securely. Also, I can't remember the last time the Seahawks played a team that wasn't from the NFC West. Is it just me, or are they just...
Right, they played the Rams and the 49ers, right, the last few weeks. Yeah, they played only NFC West. I think they played the Cardinals in there, too.
And they're just, like, stuck in this bottle universe against two of the toughest foes you'll face, and I guess a spunky Cardinals team. But, like, I don't know what it's like. Last time I saw them play an AFC team, I think it was the Titans, so that doesn't even count.
Hitchhiker's Pie says the Patriots are the 2003 Panthers or the 2001 Patriots. They're closer to the 2001 Patriots because the 2003 Panthers were kind of up and down all year, and they were really, for the whole year, the 2003 Panthers were really just average. The 2001 Patriots were a good team by the end of the year. And unlike the 2003 Panthers, they distinctly got better as the year went along.
Right.
That's the difference between the 2001 Patriots and the 2025 Patriots is that the 2001 Patriots needed stuff like the Tuck rule.
Yes.
Right. Whereas the 2025 Patriots have taken the last two games and stomped people.
Although now you're facing Jarrett Stidham, so you don't get a Tuck rule, but you get this guy. The 2003 Panthers. That's almost like what the Bo Nix Broncos felt like to me, where like here comes the fourth quarter. Like super play by
not quite as good as the Broncos, but a little bit of that, a little bit of that,
right? The Broncos,
you know, they were like, for example, the two that we were talking about this yesterday during the overtime. The 2003 Panthers are the last team to go to double overtime.
Was that against the Rams?
People remember against the Rams in the divisional round, the 2003 Panthers needed double overtime to win the game.
Yeah, so I feel like Steve Smith had like 7 punt return touchdowns in that game, but a long time ago, and I'm sure I was drinking during it. So let's move on.
Mike Roosh wants to know, do we have a sense of what specifically improved as the Patriots have faced better competition? Yes, the offense has improved a little bit, and the defense has improved a lot.
Defense has gotten healthier.
Healthier too, yes.
Is that healthier? Gonzalez was in and out of the lineup. He's back. I think Davis missed a few games. He's back. Milton Williams was out for a while. He's back. So you have that. It feels like everyone's – remember how many rookies and how many newcomers there are They've probably just been gelling to a degree.
Yeah, and luckily for them, as you pointed out today in your column, they got to gel against an easy schedule, which makes the gelling easier. Yes, people are pointing out 2012 Ravens and Broncos. Sorry, that was the last double overtime game.
The
Joe Flacco miracle in Denver.
We watched that together.
Yeah, that was the last double overtime game. Yep. The Panthers and the Rams, though, was also double overtime in 2003.
Fair enough. Okay.
So here we go. So it's going to be Rams Seahawks 3, which I think I've certainly been hoping for, not only because of my numbers, but because those are the two best teams in the NFC this year, I think, pretty clearly.
Right.
And then this weird Jared Stidham thing.
This weird Jared Stidham thing where you're looking at, here's the scenario where the Broncos can upset them, and I can't put the odds more than like 15% that it happened.
I have it at, I think, 29% in the playoff odds report. Ooh. Because they're at home.
Yes. Yes. And I think the Foxborough faithful had an impact. I think Stroud gets rattled by noise.
Yeah. Seattle and the Rams is a much closer game, but in that game, the better team is at home.
Yes.
Whereas in Broncos Patriots, the better team is the team that's on the road.
I got to admit, Seahawks Rams, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of wanted to see the Bears.
Hitchhiker's Pie says, how is the Knicks to Stidham adjustment? My usual adjustment for backup quarterbacks is 13.3%. I did 15% here.
Right.
15% DVOA. I didn't want to overestimate what, because the fact is, Sean Payton is a good coach.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Stidham's been in the system for 3 years. So he's not going to go out there and not know what he's doing. It's just that he's Stidham. Right.
But we'll be back on Thursday to actually preview that game. Although Lord knows what stats I'm going to find to tell you anything about Jared Stidham. Like, Brian Knowles is going to do the NFC Championship preview, and I'm doing AFC. And I feel like half of it is just going to be a big question mark. I don't know.
Just put a giant question mark.
Just like a giant question mark. Like Jared Stidham.
Right.
You know, Patriots defense playing Barrett, Jared Stidham. I don't know. So, yeah.
Go back and watch those two games where he replaced Russell Wilson at the end, as if those are like really meaningful tests. Yeah.
Probably not. All right. That does it. He's Mike Tenier. MikeTenier.substack.com. I'm Aaron Schatz, FTNFantasy.com. Join us again on Thursday when we preview the conference championships, 11 a.m. Eastern. Till then, so long, everybody.